We're on a mission from God.
And now for something completely different. This is Pastor Jolly John Lekumsky coming to you from Northfield, Minnesota.
And this is Pastor Matt Youngblood Clark coming to you, as always, from beautiful South St. Louis, where I serve as pastor at Ascension Lutheran Church.
And you are listening to Wrestling with the Basics. And Matt, one of the things that I really like about our show, I don't want to pat myself on the back, but not only do we have some really excellent Bible study, but we also have practical things we share with people, which I think is what makes our show distinctive. So you get the Bible study, but you also get some practical things. I have a wonderful practical thing for our listeners today, Matt.
I'm not surprised, John. What a great public service that you provide, that we provide, week in and week out.
Well, and this may not be for all of our listeners, but for anyone who's involved with a school, you guys are involved with a school, aren't you?
We are, yeah. Word of Life Lutheran School. We're one of three churches involved with that ministry. Yep, that's right.
Oh, well, this is going to be great for you. This will be helpful for you because I have a way for anybody involved. It could be a public, could be parochial school, but people involved with schools, a way that they can generate more income, because I'm sure, as you experience, that's one of the biggest problems with all schools is just getting enough money to get things running, right, Matt?
Oh, you bet. It takes a lot of resources to run a school, no doubt about it.
So I don't want to take credit for this because this is actually an idea that I heard over the radio here up in Northfield that the Northfield schools are doing. Because what they're doing is, of course, schools usually have sports teams. And so they're going to start selling advertising space on their scoreboards and on their press boxes and stuff like that, anywhere they can put up a sign. And so corporate sponsors, and they're saying they might make millions of dollars over you know, a decade by having this extra ad revenue. But then it dawned on me, they're missing the opportunity because, I mean, how many scoreboards do you have, right? Football, baseball, and that's about it. But think about this, Matt. You watch NASCAR? Do you ever watch NASCAR?
Sure, occasionally.
So what is it that's striking about the NASCAR drivers? What do you notice right away when they step out of the car?
Ads covering them, right? Their cars, their outfits, yeah, everywhere.
So here's my idea.
All right.
And see, what's nice about this, you could have actually have targeted marketing. They call this targeted marketing. We need to dress our teachers up and put all these little stickers and badges on them, right? Like, can you imagine, like a chemistry course, would that not be ideal for Monsanto? Can't you see like a big Monsanto sign on the back of the teacher? And I don't know, maybe, I don't know what, a Dow Chemical, a badge.
DuPont,
you know,
yeah,
on their show.
Yeah,
DuPont,
sure.
It's endless. Let's see, Home Ec, the target dog, right?
Oh,
wouldn't
yeah,
that be great?
Yeah, sure.
On the smock of the home ec teacher, Walmart, maybe. I don't know. Maybe you could do both of those. I couldn't. Your wife is an English professor, doctor. I could. Can you think of any things we could do for the English classes?
Any sure. Different publishers? You bet. Yeah. You know, Erdmann's and Zondervan, whoever the highest bidder is, John.
Oh, wait a second. Man. See, this is the thing. This is all being inspired, even as we do it, right? Not like we could plan any of this out.
That's
Matt,
for sure. No one has ever accused us of planning anything out, John.
This is for you. How about your wife works for CPH, right? Concordia Publishing House?
Well, yeah, sure.
How about a big CPH logo on the back of your alb? Wouldn't that be fantastic?
My wife would probably be in favor of that. I don't know about everyone else.
we don't have a logo, but we could get a WWB logo, and you could have that patch on your shoulder there.
Perfect. We could market Stoles with all sorts of ads. This is endless,
see,
John. I hope our listeners are taking notes.
I have another thought, but maybe this is going too far.
Oh,
what would you think about communion pyramids that said, this supper is sponsored by Grubhub or something. That's probably too much. Is that too much?
That might be crossing the line, John, even for Wrestling with the Basics. Okay.
Yeah. All right, people, please, please don't write us. Don't send us your emails. This is a joke. It's a satire. If anything, we could say we're making fun of the marketing that churches are trying to do today. Please, no one's going to have a CPH logo. Well, you know, they might. That might happen. If CPH finds out about this, that might happen.
But no Grubhub. We got to draw the line somewhere.
That's right. No Grubhub. All right. So we need to get back. And it's interesting because we're talking about what defiles a person. And I'm thinking that probably did right there. What comes out of a person. Right. Yeah. So last week, Matt.
Yeah, you're putting your retirement to good use, John. I can see that. Just the wheels are still just turning.
Last week we had Jesus give a smackdown to the Pharisees and the scribes. Since this is wrestling with the basics, he gave them the smackdown. Right? He pointed out that they were taking the traditions of men and they were replacing the commandments of God. But what we want to pick up now from Mark 7, verse 14, is Jesus now looks around and he sees that the crowd has been taking this conversation in, right? He's been talking to the scribes, but the crowd has been paying attention. And of course, the crowd doesn't know what to do because they've been taught that these leaders, these Pharisees and scribes and others, that they are the men to be honored and respected. So we want to pick up the story at verse 14 when Jesus now addresses the crowd and tries to help them understand what he's been trying to say. So if you wouldn't mind reading I think you can just read verse 14. That'll be a good start.
All right. And he called the people to him again and said to them, "Hear me, all of you, and understand."
Oh.
I'm going to keep going, John.
I'm sorry. I thought that little number 15 was a footnote, but no, okay, it is a verse. So yeah, probably that as well.
All right. Well, I thought you had some brilliant insight about that comment, but no, it's okay. No. It's all right. Hear me, all of you, and understand. There is nothing outside of a person that by going into him can defile him. But the okay, there we go. Now I'm... Okay, go ahead.
Yeah, that's it. That'll do it. But that must have dropped off a verse, huh?
Yeah.
There is a footnote here. Oh, and if anyone has ears to hear, let him hear.
So 16. Okay, got it. Yeah, okay.
That was in King James, but that apparently the newer translations leave that out. So anyway, to get back to the point, that verse that you just read, if I'd let you read the whole thing, it is worth the price of admission today for Wrestling with the Basics, because Jesus is looking at this crowd. And note, he calls the people to him. All right. I think that's just so beautiful. I hope people who listen to us realize Jesus, the Spirit, has actually called them to listen to us, as incredibly as that is to believe, that is a fact. No one comes to hear the word of God except God is drawing him, right? Jesus says, "Not that you chose me, I chose you." And what's the purpose for calling these people together? What's he hope to accomplish, according to verse 14, Matt?
For understanding.
Right.
Hear me, all of you, and understand.
So two things there. First of all, the only way you can understand is if you hear Jesus, right? So that's a typical Lutheran thing. We preach that over and over again. If you don't hear the word, there cannot be any faith. There cannot be any understanding. And understanding, by the way, is the word of the day, all right? So my daughter tells me that there used to be a show called Pee Wee Herman, and every time the word of the day was said, people would jump up and run around. We're not asking our listeners to do that.
Especially if you're driving. If you're listening to us in the car.
Yeah, exactly. My goodness.
Please don't
do that. Accidents. Yeah. But that is the word of the day. We want to talk more about understanding. And so what is it? But see, this is the point. He wants these people to understand. They need to listen to him. It is the same for us people. If we want to grow in our understanding, we need to hear Jesus, and he wants us to hear him. And you know why he's calling this crowd to him? Because he has compassion on the crowd, right? Mark told us that earlier. He sees the people, and he said he had compassion on them because they were sheep without a shepherd, and that's exactly the issue here. these leaders, these scribes, these Pharisees, who should have been their good shepherds, had misled them. They had not led these people to the green pastures and the still waters of God's word. And so now Jesus is stepping in to be their shepherd. And what is it? What is it they need to understand? What's this fundamental basic teaching that everyone who is a believer should understand? What is it, Matt?
So again, there's nothing outside of a person that by going into him can defile him. But the things that come out of a person are what defile him, Jesus says.
Yeah. So the problem with the Pharisees is they were saying that when you would eat this food that you hadn't done your ceremonial washing over, that defiled you. And Jesus says, that's just ridiculous. Nothing that you take from the outside of you can change what's on the inside of you. That's just foolish. But the bigger problem, I think, was the Pharisees were also teaching that if you did this, if you followed all of these traditions of the elders, as Jesus called them, then you would be holy. You would be pure. God would think you were great. And Jesus says, well, the problem is there's something inside of you. That's what's really defiling you. And unfortunately, all these human traditions really is not going to affect that at all. So do you have any other thoughts about that? And if not, we'll move on to verse 17.
Well, yeah, human traditions, you know, that's what the previous verses were about, John, and all the ceremonial washings and things that are just kind of made up. And, you know, somehow this is going to bring us closer to God. And I think, you know, that's definitely part of it. But I wonder, too, you know, in this text, you know, even I think perhaps Jesus is getting at some of the things that were commanded in the ceremonial laws, you know,
God actually commanded.
And yet Jesus is going to address that too. So the traditions of the Pharisees, no doubt about that, but also addressing even some of the ceremonial laws that God himself had set up in the Old Testament, some of the dietary laws.
So I tell you what, let's read a few more verses and then we'll get to a section that actually talks just exactly what you're talking about. And then why don't you elaborate on that for the listeners. So if you could read verse 17 and verse 18 and go all the way to verse 19, but maybe leave out that little clarification that you were talking about.
Okay.
And
yeah.
Then we'll come
okay,
back to
got
that.
It. Okay. Yeah. 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 And when he had entered the house and left the people, his disciples asked him about the parable. And he said to them, then are you also without understanding? Do you not see that whatever goes into a person from outside cannot defile him, since it enters not his heart, but his stomach and is expelled?
Now, this is throughout Mark. They're constantly doing that. And this is good. This is, again, the thing that we can model. When the disciples don't understand something, they enter the house and they go to ask Jesus, okay? And by the way, again, I would recommend that to everyone. If there's something that you don't understand in your life, maybe there's something you're wrestling with, maybe something in the scripture you don't understand, then go to the house of God, which is the church, of course. That's where Jesus' house is today. It's not in the temple anymore. It is in our churches. So go and ask him about these things, and then listen again to what he has to say to you. However, what's interesting, what was Jesus' response to the disciples? It's really not kind of the positive response we might have expected. What does he say to them?
No, he kind of chastises them, doesn't he? He says, then are you also without understanding? Kind of in, right. You know, along with the Pharisees and Jewish leaders, you too, disciples, you don't get it?
And it does seem like that's kind of harsh. But the fact of the matter is, Jesus really should have had to explain this to the disciples, okay? For one thing, that they asked him about the parable, and this is not a parable, okay? A parable is a story that would require some explanation to understand it, right? So you got the story about the sower. Well, we need to know what the seed is. We need to know what the thorns are. We need to know what the good soil is. Yeah, that requires an explanation. But this very basic fundamental teaching, it is not a parable. It's straightforward. It doesn't need any explanation. Furthermore, maybe the crowd doesn't understand it because they haven't had good teachers. But I've been teaching you for 3 years, and there's nothing that I've said here that I haven't said over and over and over again. You really should understand it. And so that's our situation, by the way. We have had good teachers. We have had people like you, Matt Clark, who do give us the Word of God. So we truly should understand this. But what I love about this text, though, is that, all right, if we don't understand something, even though we should understand it, how could you not understand this? Jesus just patiently says, all right, let's go over it one more time. All right?
That's right.
And the final comment I'll make is, you know, the English here wants to make it polite. So it says, you know, stuff outside of you can't defile you because it doesn't go into your heart. That's the problem. The heart's the problem, but it goes into your stomach and is expelled. But Jesus literally says, so it says, and it goes into the toilet.
Yeah. Yeah. I saw my little footnote there. I like that.
Yeah. Into the latrine. So obviously it's not affecting you spiritually. It just goes right into the latrine.
Can't argue with that.
but now there's a little side note that apparently Mark puts into this, and I did not talk about this, but you picked up on it. So go ahead. What's the little side note that Mark makes about all this?
Yeah. So then, you know, and in our English Bibles, it's kind of even in parentheses, right, John?
Yeah.
Thus he declared all foods clean. And, you know, Mark really does say that, right? That in the original text, you know.
Yeah.
So, you know, all foods clean. That's a big deal. And that, you know, might not seem like a big of a deal to us as 21st century Christians who were maybe Gentiles. Well, yeah, all foods are clean. Yeah, I pretty much eat what I want, you know, right on, Jesus. But boy, you know, in Jesus' context, talking to Jewish disciples, right? He's declaring all foods clean. So yeah, you know, man-made traditions, yeah, unnecessary. But even the ceremonial laws that had been in place, those Old Testament dietary laws that go into great detail, you know, Jesus is declaring that, no, all foods are clean. You know, it's like he's saying, you know, I'm doing something so wonderful, right, that it you know, dietary laws pale in comparison. Jesus is here. Jesus is the fulfillment of the law. And this is going to be pretty important, too, because as we see then after Pentecost and the church grows, this becomes an issue between Jews and Gentiles.
A huge issue.
You know, one of the very first issues that really divided the church was the question about, yeah, to what extent do we follow dietary laws, the Jewish dietary laws, and even things like circumcision, too, I would throw in there. To what extent do we follow those? Do people have to adopt those kosher diets and circumcision to really be a follower of Jesus, to really be a Christian? And that becomes, you know, a big debate. But, you know, I'm thinking if they would have just read Mark chapter 7 here, it would have helped them out, right? No, Jesus declared all foods clean. It's okay. It's not about the diet anymore. It's not about being circumcised or uncircumcised. It's about Christ, right? And it's about his fulfillment of the law perfectly on our behalf. And it's about faith in him. That's what makes us clean, not what we eat.
So what we have here then rests on this basic principle that it's never the external things we do that really change things, because the problem is what's in us, what's in our heart.
Yes.
And again, I hope all of our listeners go to church. We just said that over and over again. You got to go to where Jesus is at, hear his word. But if you think by going there and sitting in a pew for 60 minutes, or probably for your case, an hour and 15 minutes, because you probably go on and on when you preach.
But long-winded, John.
Long-winded. You know, we had the 60-minute guarantee. If I went over an hour, we had to give them the money back. So that's I would have preached for hours and hours too. But well, anyway, yeah, that's the thing. We could bring a whole herd of cows into church for an hour. That wouldn't make them holy cows. My apologies that sports guy, whoever he was, Harry Carey.
Harry Carey, yeah.
All right, so here's the problem, though. All right, let's see what the real problem is. And once you realize what the real problem is, you realize, well, nothing external. We got to have something that gets inside of us and changes. Well,
yeah.
Here's what the problem is. Verses 20 through 23.
Sure. What comes out of a person is what defiles him. For from within, out of the heart of man, come evil thoughts, sexual immorality, theft, murder, adultery, coveting, wickedness, deceit, sensuality, envy, slander, pride, foolishness. All these evil things come from within, and they defile a person.
So we Lutherans, and I think probably a lot of Christians, call this sin. Okay. It does manifest itself on the things we do outwardly, but it comes from what is inward, from within the heart of man. And when I did this originally, I thought, well, maybe I could summarize this because Matthew does. There's 13 terms here. Matthew summarizes it, I think, in 7 or 8 terms. But I thought, by golly, if Mark took the trouble to write out every single thing that Jesus said comes out of the heart of man, maybe we should at least comment on them briefly. Is that all right with you?
Yeah, so let's talk about sin, John. Yeah. Let's do it.
So I'll read a thing, and then you can throw in whatever you want to throw in. I'll throw in what I... Okay. So it starts with evil thoughts. Anything you want to say about evil thoughts?
Well, I would just say, you know, as I read that list, you know, our words of confession, right, that we say as Lutherans so often, and especially the divine service, setting one, I believe, you know, it has, you know, I've sinned against you in thought, word, and deed, right?
Yeah.
By what I've done, by what I've left undone. Kind of, I think, you know, the language is trying to cover all the bases. But yeah, we've sinned in thought. You know, I think Jesus affirms that too when he talks about the sin of anger in the Sermon on the Mount, lust. That it's not just the externals as far as what we speak, what we say, what we do, but it's also, yeah, even our thoughts are soiled with sin, right?
And that, of course, is the point. It's what's in the heart. See?
Yes, exactly. So
evil thoughts. My favorite story about evil thoughts is Genesis chapter 3, verse 6, where it says, so when the woman saw that the tree was good for food and that it was a delight to the eyes and that the tree was desired to make one wise, she took of its fruit and ate, and she also gave some to her husband. See, there was all that thought that went over before she finally did what she wasn't supposed to do.
Yeah.
And that's how it is. We think about a lot before we sin, usually. So,
yeah, maybe that's good that it's at the beginning of the list, because that's really kind of the kernel of sin is those thoughts, and then it manifests itself in other ways.
So there you go, Matt. So here's how it manifests itself. You start with the thoughts, and then you have sexual immorality, and we're going to have adultery in a second. I'll just explain that real quickly. Sexual immorality is any sexual sin you do in any situation, premarital sex, pornography, you name it. Adultery technically is just the violation of someone's marriage, okay? So if you're wondering why we got sexual immorality and adultery, because adultery is really specifically just for married people, we have theft, we have murder, we have adultery, we have coveting mentions, and those are all found where? Where can you find all of those things, Matt?
Yeah, it sounds a whole lot like the Ten Commandments, doesn't it, John? Yeah. Yeah, we're kind of covering our bases here. Commandments, theft, right? Commandment number 7, murder. Commandment number 5, adultery and sexual immorality. Commandment number 6, coveting, 9 and 10.
So I think this is why Jesus said, you don't understand this? How could you not understand this? This is just basic stuff, comes right out of the law of God, the commandments of God. And you alluded to it earlier, and I'm glad you did that, Matt. See, this goes back to the heart too, because if you'd been listening to Jesus said, you know what? You're not just an adulterer when you sleep with another woman. You're also an adulterer when you do what, Matt?
Well, yeah, I lustfully think about another woman, right? You know, again, those thoughts of the heart and the mind.
And again, it's not just a murderer when you've murdered someone, when you've killed them, but right, if you're angry with your brother, yep, you are a murderer. If you hate your brother, you're liable for. All right, so again, these are things that everyone should understand. Okay, then we have wickedness, which I think is again, as you said, evil thoughts is kind of a summary. I think wickedness is kind of a summary word there too. Just in case we missed some particular sin, yeah, that's covered by wickedness.
Yeah. Well, and I think that's kind of the point of this list too, John, is yeah, it convicts everyone, right?
Oh, yeah.
You know, I mean,
yeah,
you've got it all covered. You know, wickedness is kind of the cover all here, you know, but it really is a list that convicts everyone. And I think that's part of Jesus' point in the Sermon on the Mount, but also here too.
And what's cool about all these words I just read to you is they're all in the plural, which is a reminder. It's not like there's just one adulterous thought, one murderous mm-hmm. thought. No, it should actually be murders, thefts, adulteries, wickednesses, I guess. I don't know. They're all plural. A reminder that this is going on in our heart all the time. Then we've got singular words. Now, these are all singular because I think they're not necessarily actions, but they're kind of attitudes. So what's deceit, Matt?
Deceit, you know, to do something that is, you know, to deceive, to trick, to, I'm thinking of, you know, even commandment number 8, you know, how we use our words.
Oh,
you
know,
The gossip, the not putting the best construction on things, to trick someone. Yeah.
And I thought, you know, this is built into the system, because if we are this way in our heart, we don't want people to know that. So we have to constantly deceive people.
Well, yeah, got to look pretty good on the outside, right?
There you go. That's exactly. We got a good. So that will require some deception. I wrestle with sensuality. Do you have any? I have just one sentence summary of sensuality. But do you have anything particular about sensuality?
You're breaking up a little bit, John. I'm sorry.
Asking if you had anything particular about sensuality, because that was one that I wrestled with.
Oh, yeah. Well, yeah. I think related to commandment number 6, right? Lumped in there with the lust and with the sexual immorality and the adultery, the sensuality. Maybe related to lust, maybe the sensuality. Well, you know, it's.
So here's the statement that I thought of: if it feels good, do it. Mm-hmm, that's the motto of the world. I think that's sensuality.
Yeah, right? Self-serving, right? Yeah. So this isn't love. This is more self-serving. Yeah.
Okay. Envy. I think even pastors and I, you and I, we experienced that. The guy who has the big church, making the big money, driving the fancy car. I had 2 small rural parishes all my life, and you know, we do get envious of the people that are progressing up the synodical power ladder and all that. Slander, again, saying bad things about people. Pride, oh my gosh, that's something I really wrestle with, because I just want to give people the word of God. That's all I want to do. But then again, I want them to think I'm pretty good at it too.
Yeah.
I like people say, man, that was a great show you did, that wrestling with the basics, see?
Yeah.
And then I think foolishness, again, Matt, is probably, don't you think that's just another summary word?
Yeah.
All of this is foolishness. That's what it is. And you know what's interesting about the word foolishness? It is the antonym to understanding. In the Greek, you either understand or you're foolish. Those are two opposite things. And what does Jesus want to give us?
Understanding. Word of the day.
Understanding. Yay! Excuse me while I run around the room. Okay. So now I really feel bad, because we are dedicated in Wrestling with the Basics to give people the good news of Jesus Christ. This has not been very good.
No, it's been a little rough, John. It has been.
So I hate to require our listeners to do this, but you really, really, really have to listen to next week's episode, because we are going to give you a powerful story of what Jesus does for someone who really doesn't deserve anything. Because they, if you want to talk about having sin in the heart, this person really, that's the story you want to talk about, right, Matt? About a woman who no one would think would be holy.
Yeah, you bet. All right. Yeah, we'll pick up there, piggyback off of that next week.
Thank you. This has been Wrestling with the Basics.
Showing support for KFUO is now easier than ever. You can sport a KFUO shirt, swag, or even socks by visiting our online store. Go to KFUO.org/store and order high-quality KFUO-branded merch. You no longer need to wait for our annual share-a-thon for a chance to show your KFUO spirit. Visually share and wear this ministry out in the world by checking out our selection. Every purchase helps to support our proclamation of Christ for you, anytime, anywhere. Go to KFUO.org/store.